Hello and welcome to the presentation, Identifying and Addressing Microaggressions in and Out of Therapy. Before beginning, make sure that you've downloaded the PowerPoint presentation and the accompanying handouts. As we go through the presentation, I will let you know whenever I'm progressing to the next slide so that you can make sure to keep up with where I'm at. So let's move from the first slide to the second slide. I'll tell you a little bit about myself. My name is Jennifer Sweeten. I'm a licensed clinical psychologist in the states of Oklahoma and Kansas. I am currently working as the Director of Behavioral Health for Indian Health Service, the Clinton Service Unit in Clinton, Oklahoma. And I am also the owner of a private practice, MindWorks Consulting and Psychological Services. Before going to Indian Health Service, I also worked at the VA as a telemental health psychologist, where I worked with veterans who are in rural and often very underserved areas. So today's talk is about microaggressions, and this is a really difficult topic because a lot of times with CE classes or seminars, the presenter will tell you exactly how to do something, what to do, what not to do, and it can be very concrete and straightforward. And I'll just say up front that with a topic like this, there's a lot more gray areas, and I guess that's true for a lot of ethics CE presentations. But I'm going to present it in a way that outlines things pretty concretely. I'm going to have definitions and steps to follow. But in reality, I think this issue is a lot more complex. Even identifying what a microaggression is can be something that's very difficult, and I am definitely not the end-all be-all expert in determining this, nor am I the expert in determining exactly what we need to do as therapists, and I think really as a society, to eradicate microaggressions. So bear with me as we get through this. Unfortunately, with an audio presentation, we cannot have dialogue and interaction, which is something that I think is especially helpful with regard to this topic. However, I will do my best. And if there's any comments or questions about this content, please feel free to email the company and we can get back with you. So let's move to the next slide. So here are the five objectives of today's talk. First is to define what microaggressions are, then also to identify the different types of microaggressions, learn about the negative consequences of microaggressions, so why would we be studying this phenomenon, why would we care if we're committing these or our clients are experiencing these. Next is to recognize the connection between microaggressions and our ethical code. So why we may need to pay particular attention to this phenomenon as it comes up. And finally, learning specific techniques for identifying and addressing microaggressions. Moving to the next slide, slide four, here are a few definitions of microaggressions. So these are from Darold Sue in 2010. So Sue describes microaggressions as brief, commonplace, and subtle, verbal and nonverbal, slights, insults, indignities, and denigrating messages directed toward an individual due to their group identity, often automatically and unconsciously. These indignities communicate hostility toward groups that have been historically marginalized. So something that's really key here as we talk about microaggressions is that these are usually committed by good people, by people who feel that they're moral and well-intentioned. And a lot of times people are just unaware of the hidden message that's being communicated. So what this means is that these are really difficult to pinpoint sometimes. I've heard people talk about microaggressions as being something that when they experience them, they know that they've experienced them, but sometimes it's hard to really pinpoint what it was, what happened. And if the person repeats what was said or what was done, there are so many ways that it could be interpreted as benign. It's not the old-fashioned you know, sexism, racism, or other types of bigotry that are really, really in your face, which I think are actually more easy to deal with when they are that blatant. But these are very, very subtle messages that are being sent. Sue also compares microaggressions to carbon monoxide, describing them as invisible but potentially lethal. Continuous exposure to these types of interactions can be a sort of death by a thousand cuts to the victim. And this term was first coined by Pierce, actually in 1970, in his work with Black Americans, where he defined it as subtle, stunning, often automatic, and nonverbal exchanges, which are put-downs. So again, we see that these are subtle messages, that oftentimes they're invisible. If you are not the intended, or I guess unintended, recipient of a microaggression, it can also be really easy to say, it's no big deal, or I don't think the person meant it that way, or let it go. These are extremely easy to minimize. And something else about microaggressions, too, that I think is worth mentioning is that, and you'll see on the slide that I've put the words group identity in red, I think this is critical. This phenomenon is something that happens because of group identity, and usually with groups that have been historically marginalized. I think that's really, really important. So I've had people ask me before, well, what about reverse racism? You know, white people get put down for being white. It's the same thing, right? And the answer is no, absolutely not. So we're talking about a very, very specific phenomenon here. And I'm not, definitely not here to say that it's okay to make fun of anyone or make any negative comments to anyone for really any reason, any physical characteristic or any cultural characteristic. So it's not okay to put someone down, for instance, for being white or for being a man. But I want to be clear that this is a very different thing. It's not that it's okay, but I would characterize that kind of phenomenon as a personal slight. It could even be an assault, a personal assault. It can be something serious, but it's not the same phenomenon. So what we're really talking about is slights, insults, inequities that are based on being a member of a marginalized group. And this is really important because these historically marginalized groups have been, I guess, historically marginalized. So this is something, you know, these insults and put-downs are something that have been a part of a lot of these individuals' lives forever, and their parents' lives and their grandparents' lives, and that has a cumulative effect over time. So it's different than, being bullied for being heterosexual once, you know, in your life, if that were to happen. So again, I'm not saying that it's okay to put anyone down for any reason, but when we're talking about microaggressions and the research behind microaggressions, we're talking about a very, very specific type of phenomenon. Okay. So if you go to the next slide, just another quote on microaggressions, and it's from Pierce, and it's, remember, Pierce is the researcher who coined the term microaggressions, and he says, one must not look for the gross and obvious, but the subtle cumulative mini-assault is the substance of today's racism. So it's really interesting to me about this is that he said this in 1974. So it's been quite a while that researchers have been looking into this and been aware that there are these very subtle sort of intangible put-downs. But I think it's interesting because I think of 1974 as a time where racism and sexism, oh my gosh, especially, was a whole lot more obvious. Heterosexism was a lot more obvious. So there was a lot less tolerance for diversity and diverse points of view, I think, back in the 70s. So it's interesting that these subtle forms